All right, awesome. So, a couple questions. Are you ready? You ready for my usual questions? What do you think I'm going to ask? What have we been studying? Yeah. Coming into focus, and what book is it?
Colossians.
Colossians, and why do we call it coming into focus?
Because the Bible clears our focus.
Yeah, we're seeing some things, especially in this letter from Paul to the Colossians. He's trying to bring their mind into focus about what life is really about and what's important. And what are a few things that he gave us to help us kind of click things into focus? A couple different views. Views of what? The gospel was one? Yeah. What else? Where's Brandy? She gave me a good one last time. What are some things that Paul's told us that help us bring things into focus? They said the gospel. You had one the other week. Do you remember?
Jesus,
yeah, the person of Jesus, who he is, yeah.
The Bible.
The Bible's one, but we haven't seen that yet in this study particularly. What else? Any others? The will of God. God's will for us helps us understand what's really important in our lives. And so tonight we're going to see another one. Open with me to Colossians chapter 2. Colossians chapter 2. We're starting a new chapter tonight. Or peek on the screen since you guys don't carry Bibles anymore. Take out your phones. Does anybody have a phone? Oh, there you go. You get your Bibles on the phone. You should get like, what? What are some good ones? Logos is a good one. What are some others that you guys use?
YouVersion.
YouVersion is an awesome one. I get that one on my phone. Those are some good ones. They're free apps too. Get them so you have the Bible on your phone since you don't carry real Bibles anymore. Colossians chapter 2, verses 1 to 5. You ready? Here, Paul says, "For I want you to know how great a struggle I have for you. For those at Laodicea, and for all who have not seen me face to face, that their hearts may be encouraged, being knit together in love, to reach all the riches of full assurance of understanding and the knowledge of God's mystery, which is Christ, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. I say this in order that no one may delude you with plausible arguments. For though I'm absent in body, yet I'm with you in spirit, rejoicing to see your good order and the firmness of your faith in Christ." Now, Paul seems to be just kind of like chatting with the people in this little section. So if we just looked at it real quick and just read right through it, we'd be like, oh, it's just kind of Paul chatting him up. No big deal. He's just kind of writing him a letter, so he's being a little bit mushy. But he actually says some really big, awesome things in this, and he sets a really good example for us. He talks about this thing called discipleship. That's what he's describing here. Does anyone know what discipleship means? Yeah. Yeah, like a teaching? A disciple is someone who's a learner, right? He's learning what's being taught. What are we teaching? What is this discipleship process that we're learning? Math, science, law, what?
The Word of God.
The Word of God. So as disciples, as you guys are here tonight, and hopefully when you go and plug in other small groups like Sunday school or your fire stations or other places, you're being discipled. You're learning the Word of God. You're learning who God is. And so Paul's going to kind of outline what a disciple looks like. Because if you've accepted Christ, you've got the gospel, you understand God's will, you know who Jesus is and what he means to you, you've seen who you are, right? Because he told us where we are, who we are. We're broken. We're people that can never make our way up to God and be good enough to ever get there. And how do we fit into that whole thing? Because Jesus said, "I'm going to do it for you." And so we fit into this thing as we believe because Jesus comes into us and he makes a change. And that change that's happening inside of us is a result of discipleship. You're becoming a follower of Christ. You're becoming a disciple. So I guess my question for you is, do you know what that looks like? Do you know, like, let's say you were running, and I put you all out on the front, that little dirt road there, and I was like, all right, we're going to do a race, everybody. Are you ready? And I put you all on the line. I'm like, the first one back is going to get that red Ferrari. It's brand new. It's a 2014 sitting right there. All you got to do is be the first one back. Are you ready to race? And you're like, ah, let's go. And so all of a sudden I'm like, ready, and I blow the whistle. And you're like, okay, wait, what are we running to? Like, Where's the actual race to? And I never told you where the finish line was, or how to get there, or what the map was. I just said, run. You're kind of like Forrest Gump. Just, here we go, run. Like, you have no idea where you're going. How are you ever going to get to the finish line and be able to win that prize if you don't know where the goal is? And so when we talk about discipleship and following Jesus, how many of you know what that looks like? What's the end game in this? When you grow in Christ, what should you look like? What's the goal? What does a full, mature disciple of Jesus look like? Or are you just stuck in this process of like, well, I go to church and I hope something happens and eventually I'll just be what I'm supposed to. Yeah.
You go disciple others, bring them to Christ, and then go to heaven.
Here's the question. If you're going to go out and disciple others, and I love your answer, by the way, that's part of what we're going to talk about tonight. But if you're going to disciple, let's say, Justin, you're like, Justin, dude, I'm a little bit older than you, bro, and like I love Jesus, and I want you to love Jesus, so I'm going to disciple you. And Justin's like, sweet, well, what am I going to look like as I grow as a disciple? I don't know. I have no idea, but we'll figure it out as we go. Does that sound like a good plan? No, probably not, right? If I gave all of you like a piece of Play-Doh, and you're like, you have the Play-Doh in front of you, I was like, okay, this is what I want you to make. I want you to make a Hengelsheimer. Yeah, just make that for me. The first one to make that for me wins. Wait a minute. You have like, I have no idea what a Hengelsheimer is. How am I going to form you one? What if I said, hey, I want you to make me a disciple? Like, I don't know what a disciple looks like, so how am I going to make a disciple here? I have no idea what that is or what it looks like. So see, we're kind of, we keep hearing, hey, we need to make disciples, guys. We need to be disciples. And we're sitting here going, I don't know what that is. Like, I don't know what that's supposed to look like. So how are we ever going to form it? How are we ever going to follow it? And so tonight, Paul's going to kind of outline a little bit of this for us tonight so we can click things into focus and kind of figure out what we're supposed to look like as disciples and how we're supposed to help others become disciples. So I want to talk about three things that I kind of am using to help us narrow this thing down because it can get a little confusing. I'm going to give you the word known. Can you say that word? Known. What does known mean? That's not like a country accent for no one. Known. Known around here's done that. It's not that. That's what I'm going to say. Known. K-N-O-W-N. Like to know. Known. Right? Okay. Here's how we're going to break out discipleship. And three steps here. First is know. To know. To know God. The second one is to own your faith. To own it. To make it yours. To make it something you believe in, you're passionate about, and you'll stand firm on. And if you put those two words together, know and own, what do you get? Known. You get the full word. And what is that? I want to make this faith that I've owned known to other people. I want to bring it out so other people actually know this Jesus that I'm so in love with. All right? And so that's kind of how Paul's going to break this thing down. Those are just three key words for us to help us kind of keep it in mind what this means. So look back at the first verse. He says, for I want you to know how great a struggle I have for you. I want you to know this. Like, Paul's passionate for these people. He wants to disciple them. He's got a passion to disciple these people. He's not like, hey, let's all just come hang out together, play some nine square and leave, and like, I really don't care what you look like at the end of the day. Oh, you get a problem? Don't tell me about it. I don't want to hear about your problem. I just came to play nine square. What? You get a broken heart because someone did that to you? You know, I don't really have time right now. What kind of youth group would that be if you came to this place and you're like, man, this happened last night. It's a disaster. I need one of my leaders to talk to me. And all your leaders are like, no, thanks. No. That'd be horrible. And look at Paul's heart, though, for discipleship. He says, I want you to know how great a struggle I have for you. Like, I love you. I love you people so much. Like, it's literally a struggle in my heart because I want you to know Jesus so much. Now, I wonder, as a believer in Jesus Christ, do you have people in your life that you desire that for? That you have that struggle inside of you as you look at those people and know they're lost. Are you burdened for them? Like, do you have a struggle in your heart for them? Paul says, I want you to know how great a struggle I have for you. And so this is kind of the desire to see other people know Christ. That's the start of discipleship. That's where it sparks. Now look at what he says next. Verse 2, he says this. He's going to outline discipleship for us, that their hearts may be encouraged. What does that word encouraged mean? Like, does that just mean like we come on a Wednesday night and somebody looks sad, so I walk up, I pat them on the back and make them feel better. They smile and then they move on. We talked about this in Aftershock this week. What do you guys think? Encouraged. What does that word mean? Make each other feel better? Put a smile on each other's faces? What? What? To give strength to people, yeah. What else?
To feel more confident.
Yeah.
To urge them to do something like encourage them to follow Christ. Urge them to follow Christ.
Yeah, to grow. to grow in Christ. So as Paul's talking about encouragement, what he typically means is that I want to try to lift you up in Jesus so that you get to know Christ better. I want you to know Jesus. And then he says this, being knit together in love. Here's the cool part. Discipleship doesn't happen by yourself. Some people are all on this kick, like, especially nowadays, like, we like to be individuals, you know? I want to, like, do my own thing, have my own style to express myself, you know? Like, we're all about that. And so we even take that sometimes to our religion and be like, I follow Jesus the way I want to follow Jesus. And I do it alone over here. I don't need church. I don't need a small group of people to hang out with and study God's word together. I don't need a plug in anywhere. I do this on my own. And Paul's saying, here, my desire is that your hearts can be encouraged. How? By being knit together in love, that there's unity, that you guys are plugging in with one another. We talked last week about how important fire stations are. That's our way to help you guys carve out the space where you can be together and talk and love each other and discuss things and look at God's word and encourage one another to be like, hey, grow in Jesus. You're struggling with that? I am too. Let's talk about it. Let's pray together about this and ask God to help us. And so what this says here is that we do that together. Discipleship is this awesome process where I don't have to be alone in my troubles. Like, I get other people to come around me and love me enough to say, let me walk through this with you. I can look around this room and see people that I've grown in Christ with, that I love so much, that I've walked through discipleship with. It's awesome, the relationships that form when you guys grow in discipleship together. Like Paul said, when you're being knit together in love. I challenge you guys, find people in your life that you can do that. Do you have someone right now that's discipling you? Is it your fire station leader? Is it your Sunday school teacher? Is it just a friend who's mature in Christ? I pray to God it's your parents. I hope at home your parents are disciplers of you. First and foremost, your parents should be the ones that are discipling you. We come along and help out. I hope you're finding places where you can grow with other people, be knit together in love with them so you can grow in Jesus. Because I'll tell you what, it's hard to do on your own. I don't know if you guys have tried it. Like, if you try to, let's say you try to read your Bible and you don't tell anybody about it, but like, for this month, I'm going to read every single morning. It takes like 3 mornings, and all of a sudden by the 4th morning, you're just like, oh man, like I already forgot today. And then by the 6th morning, you forgot you even started the thing. Never mind, make it to the end of the month. Sometimes it's hard. But it helps if you have other people that are like texting you, hey, did you read this morning? It was really good. Let's talk about it later. And you're growing with people. You're keeping each other accountable. I challenge you guys, have people like that in your life where you're encouraging each other to grow in Jesus, because that's part of discipleship. Look what he says next. To reach all the riches, here's the goal. Here's what, remember the putty, the clay? What should a disciple look like? To reach all the riches of full assurance of understanding. Now that sounds like a mouthful, doesn't it? What is he saying? The riches of full assurance of understanding. Can anyone speak Chinese to interpret that for me? Anyone? Can you kind of? Okay, well that's cool. Do it. Do it. Whoa. Okay, that's awesome. Can you interpret that verse then? That little chunk.
Which one?
To rich. That, I don't know what that was. That was my own language. Now I can't talk. You got me all flustered with the Chinese. To reach all the riches of full assurance of understanding. How much wood? I don't know what you're saying. Okay. Here's the deal. I'll help you, okay? Because it can be a mouthful. To know. That's pretty much what he's saying. My heart for you is this. This is the struggle inside my heart as you guys grow together and encourage each other to do this thing. This is what I want you to be able to do. This is what you need to do as a disciple. To have full assurance of understanding. To know God. To understand who God is. So you can't be a disciple unless you've been saved. You can't be a disciple unless you've met God and made Him your Lord. Have you had a time in your life where you've met Jesus in a way where you've said, Jesus, I trust you as my Lord. I give you my life. I repent of my sins. I want you to be my king. Because that's the first step of discipleship, is entering this relationship with Jesus so you have this full assurance of understanding of who God is. And as you do that, look what you're able to do. You're able to grow. Now, how are some ways that you can grow in your relationship with Jesus? You guys know? What are some ways we can do that? Prayer. What else?
Scripture reading again.
Yeah, reading the Bible, getting in the Word. What are some other ways? Prayer is best accompanied with reading the Bible and something else. You guys know what it is? We don't often do it nowadays. We don't really even talk about it much. Fasting. Prayer, fasting, and reading the Scriptures. Contemplating, thinking about who God is, meditating on who God is. Worship. There's all these, we call them spiritual disciplines. These ways where we actually communicate with God and grow in our relationship with Him. What kind of horrible relationship would you have with your friends if you never talked to them? That includes no texting, no Facebook, no Twitter, no Instagram, no Vines, nothing. Just like nothing, don't ever talk to you, but you're my best friend ever. Right? What if someone you've never talked to before ran up to you and was like, "Bestie, how are you doing?" And you're like,
"I'm doing great."
Yo, take a step back now because I don't know who you are. Like, this is weird. You got to talk. You got to have a relationship. You got to communicate to God and hear Him speak back to you. And you know how you do that? How you get to know God, like Paul's talking about here, that first word I told you, know. After you accept Christ, you do these things to grow in Christ. You talk to Him through prayer. You hear from Him through His Word. You worship Him. You meditate on Him and think about Him. You fast. You do these things that we call disciplines that help you communicate to God. That's called a relationship. And so that's what knowing God is. Accepting Christ, believing He's your Lord, and then growing in Him through these disciplines. That's what a disciple does. So you could stop. We've earned the first point. So let's just do a quick self-check real quick. How are you doing? Do you know Jesus? Have you taken the first step where you've accepted Him as your Lord? And if so, are you getting to know Jesus? Are you praying? Do you take the time to get in the Word and read God's Word? Have you ever fasted before in your life? Now, before you do it, I'd talk to your parents and let them know what you're trying to do. Don't just do it. All right? Have you done these things we're talking about? That's how you're going to get to know Jesus. All right. So that's the first part. No. Look at what he says next. And the knowledge of God's mystery, which is Christ. Now, this word knowledge actually means to know something intimately because of an experience, like you've experienced it. Like if you saw something on, like we showed you about surfing, a little surf video, and those guys like hanging 10 and doing all this craziness and dropping down or whatever Jordan said that was. All right, so you do all this stuff. How many of you guys think after seeing that, now you can just grab the board and you go out there and just do it? Some of you think that. I can't wait to watch you on Wednesday when we go surfing. It's going to be great. Now, here's the deal. You probably won't be able to because all you did was see it like you knew it. You know it because you saw it, but you don't know it in an intimate way. You haven't made it your own because you haven't done it. Jordan was telling me, I was like, bro, I can't do this. Like, I know I'm going to fall. He's like, you just got to keep doing it. You get out there and you get better surfing by doing it, by surfing. That's discipleship too. You get better at it. You grow in Christ by actually doing it, by making it your own. And what Paul's saying here is that he desires that you have this intimate experience with Jesus. That you literally experience Jesus and you own your faith. That's how martyrs are made. That's how missionaries are formed. That's where pastors come from. That's where people, business people who love Jesus and give their whole lives to Jesus come from. And athletes that love Christ and put all their fame on the line for Jesus. That's where these people come from because they own their faith. And they say, Christ, you're more important than anything else to me, and it's because I got to know you. Jordan shared a little bit ago during worship, taste and know that I'm good. When you actually get to know Him, when you pray, when you get in the Word, and you experience Jesus, He becomes yours. You become His. You own your faith. And you start to really live for Him. It shows up in your character. In the way you talk to each other. And the words that you use. And the things that you watch. And the places that you go. Jesus shows up in you because you're following Jesus. And you love Jesus. And so the swear words start to clean up. And the dirty jokes in the locker room kind of go away. The way you act with other people. And your kindness and your love. And all these things come out and people look at you and go, wow, you look a lot like Jesus. It's because you're owning your faith. You're getting to know Him and you're like, I like that so much. It's becoming a part of me. And so it shows up in your character, but also in the decisions that you make, you know, in your discernment. You start to see things with a kingdom mind. When you look at people, you're not just looking at somebody and automatically critique them by the what they're wearing and how round or skinny or tall or short or whatever they are. When you see people, you're like, that's a child of God. That's somebody that God molded and created, that God planned out everything about that person. That is a walking, living, breathing creation of Jesus. How awesome. And Jesus loves them so much, exactly how they are, that he died for them and gave his life for them. And if they don't know Jesus, you know what our heart just longs for? It's this last final step of discipleship. We saw know, we saw own, and now we're going to see known. All right? We have this desire then to make that Jesus known. You are a living creation of the King of the universe, and you're walking around, you don't even know it. I want to be the one to tell you how awesome this Jesus is. I've tasted it, and I know, personally know that he's good. I want you to know how good he is. And so a disciple desires that other people know this too. We know God. We personally know him, so we own our faith. And we can't wait to make his glory known to other people. And look what he says, how Paul says it. He goes on, he says, In whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. That's how we see this, these treasures start popping up in our lives. The more we know Jesus, the more this wisdom and this knowledge changes us. These little treasures that will change your entire life. And what he's talking about is how things are coming clearer, right? Like you're starting to see life for what really matters. And so you're starting to actually see the treasures that you couldn't even see before. The people that you would have made fun of before, now when you look at them, you see a treasure standing there of God himself. How much God loves them, and that's what you see. You see lost souls that need Christ instead of seeing people that you're not fond of hanging out with. You see opportunities to share Christ rather than just opportunities to make yourself look good and become more popular. Your life changes because things are coming into focus because you understand this discipleship, this need to share Christ with other people. And so you start to see the treasure. Look what he says in verse 4. Paul says, I say this in order that no one may delude you with plausible arguments. You ever heard a plausible argument? You guys know what that is? Somebody who's really good at tricking you into believing something that's not really true. I've sat in some classes where I've had some teachers that told really, really good plausible arguments. They were awesome at convincing students that evolution was real, that God was fake. They were really good at just breaking the faith down of people in my classes. Maybe you know some people like that. Maybe you know people in your life that have told you lies and expected you to believe it. And they were really convincing. They were really, really good. And if you didn't know the truth, they were so good, they might have even convinced you. But what Paul's saying is, I want you to know the truth so that when these guys who come along and are really good, they try to convince you, you know what's going to happen? The truth's going to pop into your mind and in your heart. Because you can say, I personally know Jesus. Like, I don't just know him, the facts about Jesus. I've experienced him. I've tasted him. I know he's good. He is real because I have a relationship right now with him. I talk to him every single day. I've seen him work in my life. I've seen him answer prayers. I've seen him save people. I've seen him do incredible things in my personal life. You can't tell me he's not real because I interact with him on a daily basis. That plausible argument, that really convincing little talk they give you, will shatter to the ground when you have the truth in your heart. And that's what a disciple has. Paul says a disciple can stand up against these things and they won't be deluded. They won't give in a little bit. You ever have like coffee? Maybe you guys don't drink coffee. You guys drink coffee? Anybody? A few of you. That's a lot of young people drinking coffee. You're going to be really short. Actually, you're already taller than me, so. Anyway, do you ever drink like Kool-Aid that's had way too much water in it and like barely any Kool-Aid? And it's still pretty red, but you drink it, it just tastes like straight water. You ever had that? You're like, oh, so, or like iced tea that has not had enough sugar and you're just like, wah, you know? It's horrible. It's diluted down by all the water. That's exactly the goal of these people. They see your faith And they want to just add some water to it. They want to add some lies to it. And they want to dilute down your passion for Christ. They want to dilute down the fire that you have to live for Jesus and see people know him. And they'll do anything to give you these really convincing arguments to water you down. And Paul's saying, a disciple, man, a disciple knows Jesus so intimately that you're not going to be watered down by their lies. You're going to be so in love with Christ that you're on fire. You're not sitting bored in some pew listening to some old pastor. You're excited about the Word, and you're living the Word. And it's not just some boring religion. It's your life. We see it click into focus in discipleship because you're a disciple. That means this is your life. And because you're living it, as these things come, the truth says, no, you're not watering me down. Look what Paul says in verse 5. For though I am absent in body, he's not with them right then, yet I'm with you in spirit, rejoicing to see your good order and the firmness of your faith in Christ. Paul would not be a good discipler if he didn't care about the people. He actually likes them. He loves them. Now here's the deal. Discipleship isn't just sitting in a class. Sometimes we think of, like, we say that word and we're like, oh yeah, that means Sunday school, and that's what I do when I sit in a little class and read the Bible and ask some questions and pray and go home. Discipleship is a life. Discipleship is your life as you live for Jesus with other people, and you're growing together in Christ. Discipleship can happen in Sunday school, but it can happen in Publix. It can happen as you play nine square. It can happen all over the place as you're coming together with the body of Christ, lifting each other up to grow closer to Jesus. And it doesn't have to look like some school environment where you're sitting there with your hands folded. It can be a lot of fun. As you're living life with each other for the creator of the universe, that's awesome. That's exciting. And I hope you guys know that excitement. I hope you guys know God in that way. This intimate relationship, because it's awesome. And that's what Paul's talking about. I'm with you in spirit. Like, I love you. I pray for you all the time. I'm doing life with you. Even though I'm away, I desire to be with you. And look, we know that because he says, rejoicing to see your good order. Like, to see that you're actually getting it. Like, that's the first step. I see that you know. That knowing. You know God. He's your Lord. I can see you love him and enjoy him. And it's showing up in your life, the firmness of your faith in Christ. You're owning your faith. That firmness of your faith in Jesus because you know who he is. And you're owning it. And you're living for him. And you're passionate about Jesus. I can see that second step in you. And Paul is our example of that last step, because this entire thing has been him sharing with them. This whole thing, that whole passage we just read, Paul is showing us the example of making Jesus known. Paul's the disciple that's saying, I want you guys to know. Know, own, and make this faith known to other people. Those are the three steps we're seeing in discipleship. It's really important because without that, it's just some knowledge we have. Discipleship means you're living a life for Jesus Christ. Now here's what I want you to do. I have some in the back. Megan has a stack of little papers and a bunch of pens. And I want you guys to break up in your discipleship groups, which we call fire stations. And I want you to talk about this. Ask each other some questions. Let your leader kind of guide you. Is discipleship happening for you somewhere, whether it be fire station or Sunday school? Is it actually happening? Talk about what you think we just talked about discipleship means. What does that actually look like? Is it really happening? And then fill this survey out, this quick little survey. It's only 10 little things. You just put a 1 or a 5, 1 to 5 in the little blanks. It's easy. It's fast. Let us know. Give us some feedback about how you're being discipled and if you feel like you're growing, okay? So, leaders, if you can get the papers from Megan, and then everybody break up and go to your fire stations and pray, all right?